You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
You are indeed. It's 9:05 Saturday morning with Ken and Walter. Assey from Renovco has just pulled up a chair. He's here and give us a weather report. Still on the chilly side, I guess, but at least the sunshine is out this morning, right, Walter?
Yes, it is indeed. I'm having some technical, difficulties with my headphone this morning.
You can't hear them? You can't? No, really, eh?
No, oh. I'll fix it up. I'm
all right,
maybe working on it.
Can we get a tech? Can we get a tech in here, stat? No, it's fine. We'll, well, you have to hear the calls, right?
I'm going with my backup.
Okay, it's fine. It's fine. If you want to talk to Walter, he's here for the full hour, 514-790-0800. I'll also take a question on the text line as well at 514-800. Speaking of the text line, I'm going to infringe on our time here and mention a birthday here. Happy 80th birthday, Joy. And that's from Paula, your sister, Joy. All the best from all of us here. Again, if you want to talk to Walter, 514-790-0800. 0800.
Happy birthday, Ken, by the way.
Thank you very much.
It was on Tuesday, I heard.
It was on Tuesday the 25th, another year older. Had a lovely lunch. I was telling Walter, my wife, Lorena, took me for a lunch at the Institute of Hotel and Tourism. They have a school there and on the main floor on Saint-Denis, right across from the Carré Saint-Louis, the park. They have a restaurant and, you know, the kids, the chefs, they learn how to serve and...
So they were practicing on you.
They were, but it doesn't take a backseat to any restaurant. The food was fantastic, and the service was great, and highly recommended. So that was nice, too, and had a glorious day of golf the day before, because I think both Monday and Tuesday we set records temperature-wise.
We did. I had to put the AC on, which was a bit refreshing.
And so, yeah, the day before we golfed, my brother and my wife and a friend, we golfed in Île Perrot at Antide. That was a beautiful, just a stunning day. I wish it would stay like that for another couple of months.
Hey, it will. It will. Just think positive.
All right. Also spend some time just, you know, cleaning up in the backyard, putting away patio furniture. It's that time of year, right? You got to take care of things outside, get things ready. Took a peek from upstairs in the bedroom and looked at the gutters to see how they were doing. And we talked about this last week, I think, about just winterizing your house.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing a couple of calls out just to consult, you know, free of charge some of the clients, and they need some help. You know, the more I do that, the more I realize the different type of mentalities when it comes to homeowners. It's funny. Some of them are in denial when you get to them. And, you know, when I get there, it's free of charge. I'm just giving them objective opinions about what to do. And they're usually manual, so they just needed, you know, kind of a nudge or some guidance.
I'm curious, in denial about what? About things, you know, that might be wrong with the
about
house?
About how far they should go to repair a problem. Oh. So most likely, more likely than not, they want to do a patch job, a Band-Aid, something that, you know, like, for example, they would have mold in the wall. And they were like, you think it's really mold? Do you think it's surface mold? Do you think it's, you know, do you really think I should cut the wall? And, you know, and you kind of have to...
Please tell me what I want
to
hear.
Yeah, exactly. You almost have to open the wall, like, get them to taste the mold and smell it, and until they actually get to, be convinced of what have to be done. So the idea is take the good news and the bad news and deal with it, and don't try to cut corners, because it will bite you back. It will bite you back. And then you have the other ones that really want to do it right.
Proactive.
And, you know, and that's proactive, and that's, you know, you're not reacting, you're acting. And that's what you should do in your house.
Can we go to the phone here? Let's see. Yeah, 514-790-0800. We'll start out on the West Island, Walter. Point Claire for Dennis. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. The weather looks pretty good. I'm waiting for it to warm up like we all are. You want to talk about replacing windows?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
A contractor measured my window. It's a living room window. It's a very big window. And he made a mistake on the size of the window, the width of it. It's supposed to be 103/4 inches. The window came in as 103 inches. He still wants to install the window. And I'm just wondering if that's advisable.
So it's only 1/4 inch?
No, it's a 2 inch. It's 2 1/4 inches too long.
Two and a quarter. Okay. So That's a toughie. When he measured the window, did he measure it from the outside or the inside?
He measured it from the outside.
Okay, so that's the correct way
The contractor has admitted that they somehow, the information that was passed along to the manufacturer was wrong. I don't know. I can't tell. I can't tell where that was, but I'm just saying he still wants to put it in, but I don't know. Should that be done? That the window, it doesn't fit. There was a contractor came in on Wednesday. He was going to install the window. Then he measured it before he installed it and said, I can't do this because it doesn't fit. It's too wide.
It's too big. Okay. So, I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it if it's too big, because technically you're supposed to leave about half an inch gap on either side so you can insulate it properly and give it a bit of a sway to move with the movement of the wood and everything.
Correct. Yes. So this person is coming in this morning to convince me that he can do that, but he would have to, it just doesn't sound
right. Let me ask you a question. What kind of an exterior finish do you have in your home?
It's brick. It's a brick exterior.
So unless the guy is going to really go through the hassle of cutting your brick, okay, and ensuring that the foreng that you have on top of your window is long enough to take those 2 inches, because sometimes they make them really nice and snug to your window size.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. That metal bar on top probably doesn't extend any further.
I mean, the good news is you can actually see it, so you can measure it up if you want and see how far it extends on either side of your window. If you have enough, that it's because usually they should make it a few inches longer, then you should be fine. But if it doesn't, then that's an issue. So he would have to definitely, in this case, replace that. That's number one. Number two, they would have to cut the brick, okay? And number three, if you have a windowsill, that windowsill have to become bigger as well, because now, you know, your window is going to overjet. So it might be cheaper for them to replace the window than to go through this whole hassle, to be quite frank with you.
Can I ask a question? If he replaces the window, is there an issue now where he's going to have to wait because of supply problems?
4 months.
No, well, this current, obviously the one that they have has been manufactured, but it takes about 8 weeks. This one took almost 11 weeks to get delivered. So, yeah, I would wait till next spring, because by the time he gets a new window, it'd be sometime in the end of December.
Look, if the guy is willing to go through this whole process, I mean, you have nothing to lose. You're going to have a bigger window, so that's not really a biggie. But if he's going to try to squeeze it and nudge it and, you know, force it in and bend it, and I don't know what he's going to do, then definitely not. Because, I mean, there are many components to this. It's not just, you know, sticking in a window and in a hole. It's the finishing outside, it's the ledges, it's the foreangle on top, it's many things. And you want to ensure that you have that space that you can, you know, nicely insulate it and urethane it, spray foam it, and everything else. So anything that is forced in is usually not a good thing. So if they are going to go through this whole process, I do recommend, Dennis, that you are there and you watch everything that they're doing. Just to make sure that nothing is being forced into the hole in order to make it fit. Okay, but I've seen cases where we had to make the hole a little bit larger because there was a mistake, or, you know, the brick was not installed adequately, or, you know, the square itself was not, you know, 100% straight when they framed it. So there was cases where, yes, they had to go a little bit more to get things done, and that's fine as long as it's done the right way.
Okay,
I will take your advice, and I always watch what the contractor is doing. So I will be around if that happens.
That is a good practice, Dennis.
Thanks, okay. Dennis. Good luck with that.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Bye now. Bye. That frees up a line at 514-790-0800, exactly 9:15.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Certainly is at 514-790-0800. Walter Assey from Renovco is here to answer your calls, and you can pick his brain, offer some advice, free advice for the entire hour, like Natalie did out in St. Michelle. Hi, Natalie.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Walter's here. We're all in a good mood, and we're ready to help you. You want to talk about cracks in the concrete?
Yes, the walkway, the sidewalk, I suppose, leading to the house has cracks in it. And I'm just concerned that with the coming winter, if ice water gets into it, it will crack further. And I certainly don't want that. It's too late in the year to have concrete poured, isn't it?
So why would you want concrete poured? Because what you really need is to fill up the crack with a kind of cement adhesive. You don't necessarily need to do a new pour. And no, it's not too late. You know, we pour usually cement easily without any issues or modifying the formula of the cement well into November, as long as we don't have lots of frost and heaving and so on and so forth. So you just have to watch the weather. You still have a good window. Like today, for example, is a great day to pour. You're going to have 14 degrees at one point, right?
Right, but doesn't, excuse me, but doesn't it have to have a few days to set that doesn't go below zero?
The most important would be the first day of the pour.
Yeah.
Into the second day, but then afterwards the cement is technically curing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even if you would have rain, it's okay, because rain makes, water makes the cement even stronger, and it will help it in the curing process. But in your case, you're not doing a huge rehaul. What the best thing for you to do is to clean those cracks, create some type of a V-shape, you know, by chiseling it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you just fill it up with an adhering compound to patch those cracks. Because, you know, you're right. If you would have water and ice and, you know, it melts and it moves and it expands and contracts, yes, those cracks might become bigger, especially if they're deep cracks. So that process does not necessarily require for you a big pour. So there's not, you know, you don't really have issues, you know. And even if you did, it's worth it that you do it dry. Because the worst thing that happens is that it doesn't adhere properly and doesn't dry. But even if it does in certain areas, well, you're saving these areas from, you know, cracking further next spring or next summer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, again, it's a maintenance job. You don't need to break everything necessarily down and take it out and re-pour. You know, it's a question of, you know, obviously I didn't see those cracks, so I can't really tell you how bad they are, and, you know, but you just go to the hardware store, you just clean it up, chisel it, make it in a nice V-shape, put some type of an adhering compound, and you're good to go.
A sealing compound, something like Sikaflex?
Sika or Mappe. Mappe have some nice products as well. You know, it's just a question of preference at this point, really. You don't have, I mean, there's not really one brand that is better than the other in this case.
Mm-hmm.
It's a preference of what, you know, what mark you, I like the Mappe product because I'm used to work with them, but, you know, that's a person preference or a contractor's preference in this case.
Okay. What if I do decide to have the whole thing redone? Would I have, what kind of a contractor would I need?
You want a cement contractor, okay? And if I were you, let's say you're doing it next spring, I would
mm-hmm.
start the calling from now. You know, because these guys really get booked up fast.
Okay.
They don't like particularly small jobs. So walkway for them is not really interesting. They want to go into slab. They want to go because, you know, the equipment is the same and the work is the same and the form is the same. And they have to wait for the pump and the, you know, and the truck and everything else. So for them, you know, if you book them early on, you get lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Then they will kind of fit you in between jobs, and they come in a rain day or a semi-rain day and, you know, do it for you. But definitely start the shopping around now.
When you Google cement contractor, a lot of them come up on the on the website.
Yeah. So, you know, you really need cement contractors, and you know, don't go with the bigger guys because they're not really interested in job. Go with the smaller companies, preferably in this case.
Could you recommend someone?
Off air, maybe, but not on air.
Here, I'm going to take your number down, Natalie. Don't you dare. We got your info. So we're going to see if we can give you a call or send you a text on the, this is a cell number, right?
No, unfortunately, it's the landline.
Oh, I have one too. Don't worry about it. Nothing to be embarrassed about. I still have my landline. Okay. We have it. We have the number. All right. We'll be in touch.
Okay. Wonderful.
Thanks, Natalie.
Thank you so much. Bye and now. Have a really terrific day.
You
Thank
too.
You.
All right.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to throw a text question at you. Says, good morning, gentlemen. My question is related to central vacuums.
Mm-hmm.
Do they or should they be vented outside?
Hmm.
That's from Andrew.
That I've never seen. No, I haven't really. No, why? It's a weird question to ask, but no, I don't.
All right, Andrew, send us more details if you can there on the text line. We're going to say hi to Danny out in Point Clear. Hi, Danny.
Yeah, hi.
Plumbing stacks.
Yeah, so I'm renovating my main floor powder room, so I've exposed all the studs and whatnot. And my house is built in 54, and I have my main cast iron plumbing stack there. And I'm wondering, there's really not an issue with it. It's not leaking. There's a bit of, like, odor coming, but not, like, terrible. Is it worth replacing it at this point with PVC or just leaving it?
It's PVC?
It's cast iron right now.
Oh. You know what? The issue is cast iron. The age of it. And usually the corrosion is from within. So if you're not 100% sure, try to pass a camera in it. It's worth it to look to see how corroded they are from the inside or how clogged up they are from the inside. If you feel that, or the plumber or whoever is doing the fish, that you know you have some advanced corrosion, then it's definitely worth it that you replace them now, because you are literally right there. You don't want to break walls and get to them in the future. The other thing that you want to look at would be rust. Typically, when you have advanced wear on them, you see advanced rust and deterioration. If that's something that you are experiencing, then by all means, you should start looking at that, especially where the cast iron turns. Now, on the vertical drops, I'm not so concerned, but anytime you have a corner, an elbow, or anything like that, you might want to look at it a bit more seriously. So
yeah, I can definitely see some rust on the exterior of the pipe, but I don't see any through rust. You know, it's just kind of surface rust.
Okay, so if it's surface rust, it's not as worrisome. If you're not sure and you want to kind of poke at it and sand it a little bit just to see how deep it is, go ahead. That doesn't worry me as much. After all, it is cast iron, right? So it's normal that it will rust. But I would treat it with paint or something so I can just stop the process of deterioration and rust. Now, having said that, typically there's telltale signs. You see some type of humidity or traces of water on those elbows. That should tell you if something is starting to leak and sometimes, because it's drain, it's not really a big leak. It's just droplets. Mm. And, it's very, very tricky because those droplets on the long term create one heck of a damage that, you'd be surprised to see. Wood rot and so on and so forth. So what you need to do is, now that the wall is exposed, run the water and test it and see. If you see any evidence of, even small droplets, then there's something that you would need to address. But also, more importantly, pass a camera through the cast iron and let's just see how corroded they are from the inside.
All right.
Yeah, so I guess my options, and first run the water, do an exterior exam, and then call a plumber in with a camera to do the interior.
Not necessarily. You could even rent your own camera. I mean, you don't need something very high tech. What you just need is really to see, you don't need, it's not like you're fishing anything, right? So if you want to rent it, Simplex and all these guys. You can rent it.
Okay.
And, it's probably going to cost you cheaper than getting a plumber in.
There you go.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Danny, we got to run. I hope that was some help for you.
That was very good help. Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Thank you so much. That frees up a line. Call now if you want to talk to Walter on the second half of the show at 514-790-0800.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Morning. Nice to have you with us here in the Home Improvement Show. It's Ken Connors, Jimmy G in Master Control, and Walter Assey in the hot seat from Renovco, answering your calls and questions, going downtown for Jay. Is that you?
Yeah, I'm
Hi,
here.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You want to talk about your foundation?
Yeah, I bought a property, and I'm going to be building a house. And for the foundation, I'm not sure if I should go with a traditional foundation or something with radiant heating. Walter, what do you recommend?
What do you mean radiant heating?
Radiant heating for the floor of the basement. You know, what is the best way to do a foundation for a home?
Okay. The floors of the basement have nothing to do with your foundation, by the way. Because it's two separate things. The foundation is your foundation walls.
Okay.
And are not interconnected in any way. As a matter of fact, when you do your slab, there's supposed to be a gap between the slab and the foundation walls and the footing. So really, it's two different things. As far as radiant heat, if you have access to it, that's probably the best thing you could do. Specifically and only if your basement is going to be extensively used. Meaning, if you have a dark, dingy basement, not a lot of height, so you're going to use it as a service area, then it's not really worth the investment.
Right.
But if you're going to have a walkout basement or a basement with big windows, and you know that it's square footage and real estate that you're going to use in your home, then by all means, it's the best time to do it. You run all your pipes beforehand, and the cost, you know, drastically shoots down because, you know, you're starting from scratch.
But what about the best way of insulating the foundation walls? Is it better to go with ICF or a traditional concrete frame?
It's an excellent question. ICF is great. ICF is great. It's not cheap, though. It's really not cheap. So what you're doing by creating an ICF type of forms is you are adding about $5 to $8 a square foot on your cost, and that's a square foot, okay?
Right.
So, you know, it could be, depending on how big the house, this could be budget prohibitive for you, okay? The alternatives are, you know, you urethane the inside, and you're maybe, because you're going to have to insulate your inside walls. So in this case, you will be maybe saving or spending about $3 versus, which you're going to have to spend anyways, by the way, versus spending the $8 on the ICF walls. The ICF, by the way, is great in areas where, you know, it's really cold and or you don't have access to forms. Or the forming contractors. So a lot of the smaller contractors that, you know, want to do the job themselves for extensions and what have you, they don't own the forms. So they use these as forms as well. But, you know, they work great. They're amazing. They're great. They give you beautiful insulation, but it becomes a question of a budget constraint as well.
But in the eventual outcome in terms of building a foundation, which is not going to take on moisture or mold or humidity, what is the best possible way to do the foundation walls?
So realistically speaking, that is going to give you no better advantage than what you would get in a delta membrane. If you put a goudron on your foundation tar, and then you put your delta membrane, or sometimes if you want to go above and beyond the call of duty, it's expensive, but it's also very good, elastomeric membrane. So this is how you hydrofuse your foundation for water. The ICF is really insulation, because even with the ICF, you still need to do the delta and everything else.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So separate the two. The ICF, the only, for as far as I'm concerned, you would have maybe a bit of added value, but it's not the reason that you're doing it, okay? You still have to spend your money on your delta and everything. If you do your delta right, if you do your TAR right, if you then you really, this is what it boils down to. You do proper French drain. You add the, you know, the gravel on top for the filtering down, and so on and so forth. Then you really don't have a problem as far as water is concerned.
Okay.
The other thing is, what you, if you're building the house, do have the conversation about the thickness of the concrete, the type of concrete we're using, and are we putting, obviously you want to put rebars in it, but it's a question that's often not addressed, is do we put rebars in the footing as well? Okay, so ask these questions to your architect or engineer, whoever is doing your plan, and let them really specify these things, really specify them.
Well, putting rebar in the footing would be an advantage, wouldn't it? For
100%. Putting rebar in anything is going to be an advantage, right? But the only problem is a lot of the foundation guys, they don't, because it's residential and they don't take it as seriously as far as you know, structure is concerned, and so on and so forth. The other thing is the thickness of the foundation walls. If you're going with brick or stone, obviously you need a thicker wall, so your footing have to be bigger. You know, so these are the questions you really need to ask right now, or else you're going to run into problems when you're going to do the exterior cladding. So let's say you're going right now with, and that happens often, you're going right now with an Excel type or a Maybach type cladding, and in the future you decide to, I don't want that anymore, I want stone or I want brick. Plan ahead, because if you tell your architect now, this is what I want, he might give you 8-inch thick foundation, which is not adequate for bricks in the future or stone.
So probably for stone, you would need about, what, 16 inches?
10, no, 10 to 12 is fine.
Okay.
10 to 12, but again, it's you know, think ahead if that's what you want to do in the future. Just like, don't, you know, kind of, now that you're building it brand new, it's a good conversation to have.
Yeah, well, brand new. But another thing I found, alternative to ICF are hemp blocks, which are they're a Canadian product and out of Alberta. And there's also a company out of Belgium, too, that does this. So it's basically like an ICF block, but it's made of hemp mixed with lime, and it's got a plastic structure inside, so it looks just like a Lego block, and you literally stack them on top of each other. So it's different. It's similar to ICF, but you're not pouring in concrete into the styrofoam. It's plug and play, ready to go. And apparently, it's incredibly strong and breathable, and you don't need a vapor wrap on the outside of the house. Have you heard of this?
I've heard of hemp being introduced a lot of construction material because of the strength of it. Okay.
Yeah.
We're even introducing it to rope and different things that we use because of its strength. I have not personally tried this, so I can't really tell you if it's good or not. I've seen it. I usually like to wait a few years just to see the good, the bad, and the ugly in every technology, right?
Work the kinks out.
Yeah. But I mean, personally, I don't like, if something is working, we don't like to reinvent the wheel. We do have products right now with the delta membrane and, you know, and the membraning of elastomeric membranes or what have you, that are working. So if, you know,
right.
I wouldn't throw more money at the problem if I don't have to.
Jay, we got to run for traffic. Hope that was a help for you for this this issue.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Good luck with the house.
Thank you.
All right. That's Jay. We have time for a few more calls on the other side. So call now at 514-790-0800. Joyce, we're coming to you next. We're going to Jill Fitzgerald right now on a beautiful Saturday morning. Jill, the weather is certainly cooperating.
It really is.
Yeah.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
951, it's Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey from Renovco. I want to bring in Martin quickly before we get to Joyce. Martin, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Martin Bruyere, the past president of the General Vanier branch of the Royal Canadian Legion in Roxborough. And you got, that was one of the terrible stories this week about the fire, right?
Yes, it was. Certainly it was terrible, devastating as we described it. The reason for my call here is not to to talk about the damage, but to talk about Walter. You there, Walter?
Yes, I am, sir.
All right, good man.
Hi, man.
On behalf of the branch, I would like to thank you for your prompt response, and to say that we're looking forward to working with you to restore our branch to its former glory.
Martin, it is my pleasure, and what you guys are doing in there is honorable. I ask anybody in the community if they can help in any way, please do. They are amazing guys. These are our veterans that we are very proud of, and thank them for their service, and especially you, Martin. I know you've been hands-on since day one, and you have been nothing but amazing. They're lucky, lucky, lucky to have you.
Thank you so much. That's not the purpose of the call. My purpose is to thank you for your prompt response. You were there before even the insurance was there.
We won't have it any other way. That's the minimum we could do to thank back the veterans for everything they've done, right?
Absolutely. Martin, thank you for the call. I very appreciate that.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Bye now. Very nice of you, Walter. Thank you. Joyce, hi.
Yes, hi, good morning.
Out in Pierrefonds. What's wrong with your foundation wall?
We were doing some work in the basement and realized that the foundation wall, one of the walls, which is 24 feet long, it's only 4 feet tall. It was we built an extension 30 years ago.
Uh-huh.
It's leaning in by 1 inch, and we had some cracks fixed before. We noticed that the cracks had sort of moved a little bit. So we had two companies come in, two very well-known companies who specialize in foundation repairs. But they each proposed a very different system, so I don't know how to compare these two. Can I explain what they are?
Sure.
Okay, so the first company proposed actually putting in some rods along the foundation wall and then push with a system of hydraulics, pushing it out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, digging about a 4-foot trench outside the wall, replacing the soil with stone, and also at the same time replacing the French drain, even though I don't know if there's a problem with it, but he says we're going to be there anyways. And then he said we should be building a supporting wall in that trench, and then before the stone goes back in. So that's his system. Okay, the other system, he proposed also putting in rods, but connecting those rods to other rods about 12 feet from the house with an underground rod. And then by applying a tension, about 6 rods going across the length of the wall over a period of about a month, just increasing the tension, you know, every once a week or so until it gets straight. In this system, the rods will stay there. We can't put in a built-in pool, but, you know, we don't want to anyways. But this system, yeah, and he says we don't have to dig along the side of the house, just the tension of the rods, and it's a permanent fixture. So since they're so different, we don't know how to compare one with the other.
Okay. So my first question is, why was this wall leaning? Was it because this is a very important piece of information. Is it because when they did the form for the foundation, they were doing the pour, one of the forms gave way and created this type of, a bump or a lean in the foundation? Or it happened over a period of time?
Okay, I should explain that in that wall, we put some very large windows, like 4-foot windows. Someone suggested actually the foundation should have been 8 feet high and then build the windows, smaller windows inside, but this is too late, you know, and we have these huge windows there. Also, the outside, the landscaping, unfortunately, is leaning towards the house, not away, so that created a different, more pressure as well. Mm. We've had the cracks repaired at two different occasions, at 2 years ago and again 3 years ago, and we have like 5 cracks along that wall.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, if your foundation is properly hydrofused, yes, it's not great to have the landscaping towards it, but I don't think it will create the structural issues that you're talking about, okay? What I would recommend that you do is get a structural engineer in and get him to spec for you what needs to be done, okay? Because yeah. In certain cases, they do some tests, and, you know, believe it or not, I've seen cases where they recommend that you do nothing because the foundation is solid enough and nothing is going to happen to it, right? And then you would have a roadmap that all the contractors should bid on the same way, okay? Rather than relying on the foundation contractor, specifically in this case, I would rely on the structural engineer. Let them do you the spec of what needs to be done, and let everybody bid on the same thing. Because now, okay, I guarantee you, you're going to get three more guys, and you're going to have three more different opinions. Mm. And you're going to be so confused, and you know what? How are you going to decide? It's not really up to you to decide. Get an objective expert in. Either they do their own, or you can even present them with the solutions that these people are offering, and they could just, you know, pick one. Because, I mean, on the radio, it's far for us to just say, okay, do this or do that.
Oh, I know.
What happened?
Yeah.
But regardless, you know, for guarantee purposes, for many, many, many things, especially that we're talking about a foundation that is leaking, so it's a serious structural issue or might be a serious structural issue, then I would get a structural engineer to do this. Now, the reason being is, and like I said, we've seen cases where the structural engineer deemed the foundation safe, okay? So you might not need to spend any money. I'm not saying in your case it is the case, but, you know, it's worth exploring, and, you know, who knows? Maybe you'll spend a whole bunch of money just doing that.
Joyce.
I appreciate that. Yeah, that's the crux of the problem. Okay, well, thank you for that solution.
Good luck, Joyce. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Walter, thank you for another good hour.
My pleasure, sir.
All right. He's back next Saturday morning between 9 and 10 to answer your calls here on the Home Improvement Show. Thank you, Jimmy G and Master Control. Don standing by with the latest from our CJAD 800 newsroom. Lisa is about to pull up a chair. Answer all your car questions coming up next on the car show. Have a great Saturday. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.